Today's important meeting of the portfolio committee on IRC. Today we are going to be dealing with some of the outstanding matters. But before we get into them, let's just go through the agenda. Administrator, please present the agenda to us. We deal with it and after we can sort out apologies.
Good morning, Chair. I'm going to project the agenda, Chair.
Yeah, no problem. But we have the agenda, so we have seen it. Honorable members, is there anybody who will want to add or subtract something from the agenda? Do we have a mover for adoption of the agenda?
I move, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have a seconder?
I'm seconded.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Administrator, give us the apologies.
Thank you, Chair. We have four apologies, Chair. The Minister and Deputy Minister Marshall are both abroad, and Deputy Minister Potter has bereavement. And then the fourth apology is from Ogun Mishwe, who is not able to attend. Oh, yes, Chair. And also the fifth apology is from Ogun Fiber, who is also attending another meeting, Chair, which coincides with this meeting at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, are there any other apologies? Otherwise, a slight apology I got from Honorable Mbanza is that he will be part of the meeting, but he suspects that he might be cut off from time to time. Any other apologies that you may be aware of, Honorable Member?
Honorable, I didn't hear, I have alerted you about Honorable Mwera. I didn't hear whether you covered this one or not.
Oh, I thought it was brought to the attention of the administration. Honorable members, we've seen a meeting with the speaker until around one or so. So, yeah, that's the apology. If he finishes on time, he says he will join. That's his apology. Okay? I think we are okay now. So we had thought that, honorable members, we will have the minister coming up today here, but as you know, they are in West Africa with the president doing some work there. Unfortunately, honorable deputy minister Borges, yesterday we got a message of a bereavement in the family. So we are going to give the department an opportunity to brief us on the subject matters, and then we'll take it from there.
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
So is it Clement?
It's Clayton Munyet.
Clayton, sorry Clayton for mispronouncing your name.
No.
Maybe before you take the platform, honorable members, as you remember, the chair was given a mandate to talk to the minister about the possibility of a physical meeting. So I spoke to the minister, she's still in West Africa, and we are looking at, if honorable members agree, the minister is available for the meeting physically in Cape Town on Tuesday next week, which means if we agree that that meeting has to take place on that day, we will have to make a special application to Honorable Frolic as the person responsible for programs here in Parliament and the Office of the Speaker. But the minister is available. I spoke to her yesterday. For those issues that are outstanding that we said we are going to discuss with the minister, including matters arising from the Auditor General's report and the Consequence Management report and other outstanding reports, which the committee had agreed that they had to be given to the committee. So maybe we must clear that off the table first before we allow Dr. Munyala to brief us on the matters he's going to brief us on SADC. Do we agree, honorable members, that we will make time for Tuesday? Because Parliament will be closed on Tuesday. If not, then we will have to have that meeting early next year when we open. Honorable Chairman.
Yeah, if the House is in agreement, Chair, I support it.
That we meet on Tuesday?
Yes, Chair. I believe that okay. Far too long we've been waiting for this, and the fact that now the Minister has made itself available, we should pounce on the opportunity. Because come January 2022, we're not sure whether we get back into lockdown because of the fourth variant.
Okay.
So maybe we might take the opportunity while we've got the chance. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is there any other member who has a different opinion?
Chair.
Yes,
Chair.
Yeah, you can proceed.
No, I fully support the proposal and I second all about change. But I just want to check, is there a possibility of the meeting, maybe, yes, of course, physical, those who care, but in case some might not, I'm not saying that I might, that maybe a possibility of it's also been hybrid, but I think maybe the administration can look at the response of members. So I just want you to check that aspect.
Well, I suppose it is possible on Narron Panza, but it's us who said we want the physical meeting. Yeah. The public. Yeah.
No, sure.
Honorable Chair, are you done, Honorable Mbanda?
Yes.
Dr. Mbanda? Okay, Honorable Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I think it will defeat the purpose if we go back onto a hybrid module. And as you correctly pointed out, the issue was for us to have a face-off meeting. And I think if members are not going to be available, then maybe consider postponing it. But the attempt should be to have 100% attendance for in-house, for a physical face-to-face meeting. And again, if it's going to be a hybrid, it defeats the purpose. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let's hear what our other honorable members are saying. Comrade Mkosi.
Good morning, Chair. I agree with Honorable Chetty. My suggestion would be that because we have got the commitment of the minister, let's allow administration to get the commitment of all members to be available physically on Tuesday. Otherwise, we shouldn't hold the meeting if it's not going to be physical as requested by the committee. But also that permission from the honorable chair of chairs,
yes,
honorable Frolic. So So there are two dependables for me, that all members must avail themselves. I am available. So check with all members, and then that depends also whether Honorable Frolic gives permission. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, the other variable might be the possibility of the president's family meeting on Sunday. So let's also hope that there will be no stricter controls after Sunday. So I think let's close it like that, Honorable Members. My office will check with all of you. We proceed on Tuesday as agreed and as planned. We'll inform the minister. It will depend on the availability of other members and what the president might announce on Sunday, if there's going to be a family meeting on Sunday. If that then occurs on Sunday and other members are not available, I think we must then proceed virtually on Tuesday so that meeting can be of our taste. All right, let's now give over to the department to brief us on structural bilateral mechanism with the DRC, and thereafter the subject matter, its mandate regarding peace and security. I will request that you deal with both at the same time, so that we can discuss them together.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and I've switched on my camera for purposes of just the greeting. My bandwidth here is quite weak, so with your permission, I will be switching it off just so that the line is not interrupted. I thought I must do that just for the introduction. Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues from DERCO, I'd like to thank the honorable members of this distinguished committee for the opportunity afforded to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to present on the structured bilateral mechanism with the Democratic Republic of Congo and on whether the Southern African Development Community, SADC, is living up to its mandate, especially regarding peace and security in the region. I'm here today with a team of senior officials from the department. I have been given the temporary responsibility of acting as the Director General. Now, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the two agenda items for discussion relate to Southern Africa, which is the focus of South Africa's foreign policy that aims to promote political and socio-economic integration among its neighbors and to achieve peace, security, and sustainable economic development. Now, we therefore drive this policy bilaterally.
My apologies, I'm interrupting. May I have my hand raised. Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. Sorry, it's my fault. It's my fault, Honorable Member, Comrade Becky. What's the issue?
Yeah, Chair, at the risk of sounding very problematic, I think firstly we know that the DG, the Minister, is supposed to lead this process. In their absence, the DG or acting DG is supposed to be here. I take the point that Mr. Mnyela Clayton is acting. In whose position is he acting? And we must get apologies, Chair, if the DG is unable to come. We have the Minister. Where is the DG? She's supposed to be leading the team in the presentation. That's the protocol of the committee. And I don't think we should just pass it if it's unnoticed. Thanks.
Yeah, well, in that Mnyela says he's acting on acting, but I'm sure he can explain himself better.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, in fact, in terms of the law, because the position of Director General is vacant at the moment, whoever the Minister appoints to act in a particular period then takes responsibility. So Ambassador Losi is not acting at the moment. She's out of the country. So I've been given the responsibility, duly appointed by the Minister, to act. So perhaps that's the explanation as to why there's no apology from Ambassador Losi, because she's not acting at the moment. Thank you very much, Chair, if that's acceptable.
Okay. Honorable Ngozi, that makes it clear.
No, Chair, it makes it clear, but Mr. Miera cannot just start by making the presentation. He has to explain that, you know, and submit an apology on behalf of the acting DG, on whose behalf he is acting, and introduce the entire team so that we proceed properly. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Nkosi. That is it.
Yeah, my apologies, Dado. I just want to find out, is he acting on behalf of the acting DG? Or is the acting DG no longer the acting DG? And the minister has now appointed him to be the acting DG for a period. The reason I'm asking, Chairperson, is that normally, if the acting DG is accompanying the minister abroad, then our official should have tendered an apology, or she should have tendered an apology to the committee stating that she is unavailable. And Chair, you may think it's a bit laborious that you keep on being, but that's the problem we have with previous acting DGs and the issues we're having around whether they come to meetings or don't come to meetings. And this is a point of clarity. Is the new acting DG the acting DG for the department, or is it just merely acting in the absence of the acting DG? Thank you, Chair.
All right. Any other member wants to say something? Clayton?
Honorable Chair?
Sure, over to you.
Unfortunately,
you have to, you have to, I know you're in a tight corner, because actually somebody who may do the acting should be the one, in this case, the minister, answering that question. But be that as it may, I think for purposes of clarity, you can clarify.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I am in a bit of a difficult position, because it may be that my understanding is wrong, but the understanding I have, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that because the position of DG is vacant, the Minister from time to time may appoint different officials at the level of DDGs to act in the position. Yes, so
yeah.
With the absence of the then acting DG, Ambassador Losi, the minister has duly appointed me officially to act. But once Ambassador Losi returns to the country, my understanding is that she will again be appointed to act.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's okay. I think let's proceed. It would have been much better if the department had, just on a short note, written to us and say the acting DG is abroad with the minister, so and so will now be acting, so that we are not surprised. But I think we take the explanation. I think it's okay. So you can proceed there.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. So I was making the point that we therefore drive this policy bilaterally through different instruments, including through structural bilateral mechanisms, as well as through the SADC community. With regards to the structural bilateral mechanism with the Democratic Republic of Congo, Honorable Members, it is important to recall that South Africa's relations with the DRC are historic and indeed fraternal. our efforts in pursuit of peace and stability in the DRC and the entire Great Lakes region are well documented. Honorable members will, in this context, remember former President Nelson Mandela's groundbreaking efforts in 1997 when he facilitated a meeting between the late President Laurent Kabila and Mobutu Sese Seko on the Southern African Navy ship in Porto-Novo, Congo, Brazzaville. Since this historic development, we have been involved in the DRC, including in post-conflict reconstruction and development programs. The structured bilateral mechanism of the DRC is a focus of our discussions today. The BNC, or Binational Commission, between our two countries was established in 2004 through the signing of the General Cooperation Agreement. The BNC is presided over by the two heads of state currently. Now, honorable members, the scope of this BNC between South Africa and the DRC is very broad, as demonstrated by over 37 agreements that have been signed between our two countries. It is imperative to also underscore the fact that the BNC provides a platform not only to discuss bilateral cooperation issues, but also to discuss regional, continental, and international issues of common interest. Honorable members, with regards to the SADC, Southern African Development Community, I particularly wish to highlight the importance that SADC plays towards the political and socio-economic integration of our region. The original vision of SADC, as you know, is premised on a future in a regional community that will ensure the well-being, improvements in the living standards and quality of life, freedom and social justice, as well as peace and security for the people of our region. Now, this vision continues to be the beacon for the work and future strategies of SADC. The SADC Vision 2050, which I'm sure honorable members are know about, as well as the Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan, or short RSIDP 2020-2030 vision, which were adopted by the SADC Summit in 2020, are premised on this particular vision as well. So in a summary, honorable members, this briefing today takes place in the context where South Africa has assumed the chairpersonship of the SADC organ on politics, defense, and security cooperation. And this is for the period August 2021 to August 2022. And this is why you saw when there were recent challenges in the Kingdom of Eswatini. Firstly, the ministerial team went there, led by Mr. Pando, and later on, His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa also visited the kingdom in an effort to engage the king and all the other role players and stakeholders, state and non-state actors, including civil society, to try and nudge them towards having meaningful dialogue that is all-inclusive to try and resolve the challenges there, because South Africa firmly believes in the principle that political challenges are best resolved through dialogue. In that way, you produce a solution that is durable and owned by everybody. The attainment of peace and security is a very critical enabler and foundation for socio-economic development of our region. With your permission, therefore, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I'd like to introduce Ms. Linda Shongwe, who is the Chief Director responsible for our region, to make the two presentations that the Chair has said we should make at the same time. Thank you very much, Chair. Ms. Shongwe.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Munyela. I would like to bid a good morning to the Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members and to the DIRCO management that is part of this meeting. I must indicate that I'm supported by the two directors, one responsible for the DRC, Mr. Kazamula Chabane, and also the director responsible for SADC, in particular the organ, which is Ambassador Ashraf Suleiman. I believe the presentation will be projected on the screen. Maybe just to indicate that I will start with the DRC structured bilateral mechanism. This presentation seeks to provide a background of the structured bilateral mechanism between South Africa and the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the outline, we will talk about, we will settle the introduction, South Africa DRC cooperation agreement, agreements and memoranda of understanding, the objectives of the convening of the next bilateral binational commission, which is the draft session, and also the content of what we're looking at for that CNC. And there will be some concluding remarks. As a way of introduction, South Africa and the Democratic Republic of Congo maintain good diplomatic and political relations. Traced back to 1997, when former President Mandela facilitated a meeting between the late Presidents Kabila and Mobutu Sese Seko in the South African Navy ship in Port Noah in Congo-Brazzaville. To concretize relations between the two countries, a general cooperation agreement was signed in January 2004 to promote political, economic and social cooperation. The general cooperation agreement provided for the establishment of the Binational Commission, which is chaired or presided by the heads of state. So the first binational commission took place still in 2004. So the DNCs have been meeting for the past few years, and then the 11th DNC, which took place on the 13th of October, unfortunately couldn't complete its work, as the head of state segment of the DNC couldn't convene due to the change of government in the DRC. It was then decided to again convene the 12th session of the DNC in Kinshasa, DRC. Although there has been delay in the convening of the 12th DNC because nothing has happened since 2018, but the two heads of state have continued to engage. We received President Ramaphosa hosted President Tshisekedi for a working visit in December 2020, where again a decision was taken for the BNC to take place. This time around, the BNC, which was due to take place in July 2021, could not take place because of some internal developments here at home. However, irregardless of, despite this, these delays, there's still a commitment for this BNC to convene. I could also indicate that in the subsequent engagements that the President has had with President Tshisekedi, as well as also engagements at ministerial level, there's been a commitment to this BNC to take place. So when we look at the cooperation agenda of South Africa and the DRC, South Africa's cooperation with the DRC has for a long time been anchored on technical and institutional capacity building, economic cooperation, and security sector reform. All these were aimed at realizing the DRC's post-conflict reconstruction and development program. Furthermore, there's been extensive cooperation in the area of defense and military under the 2004 Agreement on Defense Cooperation and other memoranda of understanding. So for this agreement, there's also been various training programs that the South African side offered to the DRC side. South Africa has also contributed military personnel and equipment to the United Nations Stabilization Mission in the DRC, which is called MONUSCO, and specifically that of the 4th Intervention Brigade. South Africa has contributed military personnel to the Quick Reaction Force, which is comprised of 150 UN personnel made up of Kenyan, Nepalese, South African and Tanzanian troops. On the trade and economic side, there has been a progressive increase of South African exports to the DRC. By the end of 2020, exports amounted to just about 900 million US dollars, according to information from the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition. But it is also indicated that South Africa's export potential to the DRC is estimated at 1.1 billion US dollars. So there's also been a noticeable increase in the South African investment in the DRC economy. South Africa and the DRC also signed the INGA Treaty to develop the Grand INGA Hydropower Project in 2013, which is due for renewal in 2023. The treaty provided for the establishment of two structures, namely the Ministerial Committee and the Technical Committee, to drive the work. However, since 2017, the committees have not met due to internal issues, issues in the DRC, and also the fact that the World Bank decided to pull out the financing of the INGA project. So as we approach the INGA 3 project, it is expected that it will generate about 11,500 megawatts of electricity, and there are other investment opportunities in transmission lines. We are aware that the DRC has also made agreements with some Chinese companies, public consortia, and also other overseas consortiums to start the INGA Project 3. But the interest of South Africa remains in continuing with the work. We've also identified another area of cooperation, which is agriculture, the hanging fruit to bolster economic cooperation between the two countries. Agriculture, animal husbandry, fishing, and forestry combined provide employment for more than three quarters of the labor force in the DRC, and it also contributes to two-fifths of the GDP in that country. We also have an opportunity to also cooperate with DRC on immigration issues, as they have also offered, have also invited South Africa to participate in a tendering process for manufacturing of passports, of their passports. As Mr. Munyola has also indicated, we also engage with the DRC at the level of multilateralism. So we are just underscoring that South Africa's cooperation programs with the DRC are also aligned with those of the African Union and the new Partnership for Africa's Development. Also, as we're all aware, the DRC is currently the chairperson of the African Union, and it will take over as the chairperson of the SADC in August 2022. So since the establishment of the DMC between South Africa and the DRC, the two countries have strengthened their bilateral cooperation in various fields. This is evidenced by the existence of 37 agreements and memoranda of understanding signed over the years. These agreements and memoranda of understanding cover a wide range of areas, including agriculture, defense, trade and investment, health, police, energy, public service and administration, cooperative governance, transport, diplomatic cooperation and immigration. There's also an expectation that five agreements will be signed on the margins of the 12th session of the BNC. Those are in the areas of mining, transport, science and technology, and maritime transport. So as we are preparing for the 12th BNC, we have identified the main objectives as follows: to review progress in the implementation of agreed projects and decisions of the last BNC, to enhance existing bilateral relations and cooperation and identify new areas for future cooperation, and to exchange views on national, regional, and international matters of common interest. So the talk session, whose date still needs to be confirmed, and also in discussions that the minister has with special envoys that of the DRC, there's keen interest in providing dates for South Africa for this meeting. So we're hoping that is going to happen in the near future as the year starts. So our approach is that this will provide an opportunity to reaffirm the strategic importance of the relations between the two countries. We're looking at areas that of engagement that include peace and security, as we have the need to move on the implementation of the AU and UN framework agreement on peace and security in the DRC and the Great Lakes region. We're also looking at discussing the tripartite mechanism on dialogue and cooperation between Angola and the DRC and South Africa. We are looking at also focusing on key economic and infrastructure projects, including the Inga hydropower project, the standardization of products and services, and the Lobitos development corridor. As it always happens with most BMCs, there's also an expectation that a business forum will convene where the South African and DRC business actors will meet and will be addressed by the two presidents. So these infrastructure projects that we already alluded for will also feature in the discussions of the DNC. Another area that we believe will be important as we engage is humanitarian assistance. The DRC has experienced volcanic eruptions in Goma, and then South Africa is working on a humanitarian relief package to the value of the 30 million, which will be realized through the African Renaissance Fund. There's also other agreements that will be signed, as I've indicated, science and technology is one of them. And then there's already indication from the DRC side that they want to have a focused ceremony when this agreement is finalized. So that's broadly the scope of our cooperation with the DRC, with a very concerted effort to ensure that it takes place soon and as indicated in the beginning, or let's say in the first half of 2022. So in conclusion, we still maintain that our focus for our work in the DRC will still continue to focus on post-conflict reconstruction and development, and also anchor and will continue to anchor the pursuit for peace, stability, and shared prosperity. We will continue to sustain this momentum and ensure that the DNC takes place as promised by the two sides. I would like to conclude there, Honorable Chairperson. And then if you allow me, then I will move to the second presentation, which is on the Southern African Development Community. With regards to this presentation, as instructed by the committee, it seeks to provide a briefing on whether the Southern African Development Community is living to its mandate, especially with regard to peace and security in the region. So we will look at briefly the map of SADC. We'll just project it. SADC and its mandate, the blueprints of SADC, and we'll also touch on the South Africa's chairperson of the Organ on Politics, Defense and Security Cooperation, and also highlight key areas of focus for South Africa's chairship and the conclusion. So the map you see on the screen, it shows all 16 members of SADC, and it's also worth noting that the current chair of SADC is Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, the president of Malawi. And the outgoing chair was President Jacinto Nyusi of Mozambique, and the incoming chairperson is President Tshisekedi of the DRC, as already indicated in the previous presentation. So the SADC derived its mandate from the SADC Treaty of 17 August 1992. As stated in Article 4 of the SADC Treaty, the mission of SADC is to promote sustainable and equitable economic growth and socioeconomic development through efficient, productive systems, deeper cooperation and integration, good governance, and durable peace and security, so that the region emerges as a competitive and effective player in international relations and the world economy. In order to fulfill this mission, SADC member states are therefore guided by the following principles, namely sovereign equality of all member states, solidarity, peace and security, human rights, democracy and the rule of law, equity, balance and mutual benefit, and peaceful settlement of disputes. The SADC common agenda in this regard is underpinned by a series of principles and policies, including the promotion of sustainable and equitable economic growth and socioeconomic development that ensures poverty alleviation with the ultimate objective of its eradication, promotion of common political value systems and other shared values, which are transmitted through institutional and other democratic legitimate and effective that are democratic, legitimate and effective, and the promotion of and consolidation and maintenance of democracy, peace and security. The journey towards the attainment of the SADC vision, mission and common agenda has demanded periodic reviews of regional strategic plans, including the Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan and the Strategic Indicative Plan for the Organ on Politics, Defense and Security Cooperation. The Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan, which I will refer to as the RISDP, served as a comprehensive development and implementation framework that has guided the integration of the SADC agenda since 2005. And the objective of the strategic indicative plan for the Organ on Politics, Defense and Security Cooperation, SIPO, on the other hand, was to create a peaceful and stable political and security environment through which the region can realize its objectives of socioeconomic development, poverty, and regional integration. So the reviews and revisions of these strategic plans have culminated now in the development of the SADC Vision 2020 and the Regional Indicative Strategy Development Plan 2020 and 2030, which were adopted by the SADC Summit in 2020. This Vision 2020 is grounded in SADC's original vision, which we already alluded to earlier on. And then the SADC vision is also expressed in three pillars. Well, the first pillar is industrial development and market integration. The second pillar is infrastructure development in support of regional integration. And the third pillar is social and economic capital development. These three pillars are built on a firm foundation of peace, security and good governance. So it is worth highlighting that Vision 2020 is also aligned to the African Union Agenda 2063, as well as the United Nations 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. So with the RISDP 2020 to 2030, it draws from the Vision 2020 and therefore sets out a comprehensive 10-year development agenda for addressing social, economic, political, and governance in the region. If you look at slide 7, we've just put forward the 6 priorities of the RSDP, as indicated, which are also linked to Vision 2020. So these 6 priorities, which are the foundation priority, which is peace and security and governance, and the 3 pillars as I alluded, they are also cross-cutting issues that are also covered in the 10-year plan, which includes gender, youth, environment, and climate change, and disaster risk management. So these priorities of the RSDP altogether cascade to 24 strategic objectives and 48 key outcomes. But for the purpose of our focus on peace and security, I would like to highlight what is contained in the foundation priority of peace and security and good governance, which is a priority which has now been integrated in the RSDP to highlight the importance of peace, security and good governance as an enabler for socioeconomic development in the region. So this priority is rooted in the protocol on policy, defense and security cooperation. So for the peace, apologies for pause on. May I continue, Chair?
Yes, continue.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I thought I was requested to pause. We are now looking at the strategic objectives of the peace, security, and good governance pillar of the RISDP. The first strategic objective talks to enhanced conflict prevention, management, and resolution systems with early warning systems that are capable of tracking and monitoring political, security, and economic threats. There are also expected outcomes for this objective, which is enhanced early warning systems leading to timely and targeted monitoring and response to political, security, and socioeconomic threats. The second expected outcome is enhanced regional capacity for mediation, conflict prevention, and preventative diplomacy. Just to indicate that there is already work in progress in SADC in this regard, a threat assessment on peace and security in Southern Africa was developed. It was developed in 2020. It identified current and potential threats to economic, political stability, peace and security implications, and proposed a course of action to address the threats at national and regional level. So an action plan has also been developed and costed with short-term and medium-term and long-term interventions to be implemented both at regional and national level. And there's also a development with regards to the work that the government of Tanzania is doing that offered to host the Regional Counterterrorism Coordinating Center. The center is expected to be inaugurated before the end of 2021. When the SADC summit convened in August 2021, it also, amongst the outcomes, they received the nominees for the SADC panel of elders and mediation reference group. Because within the SADC, there is a SADC and mediation, conflict prevention and development structure, which assists when the need arises, when there is conflict. The focus is mainly on peace mediation and support. So this resource is available in SADC whenever it is required. The second strategic objective for the peace, security and good governance is strengthened political cooperation, democracy, good governance, rule of law, human rights and human security, with expected outcomes that include high-level political cooperation among member states, consolidated democracy and inclusive governance in the region, enhanced regional frameworks to address transnational organized crime, and enhance human security in member states, particularly for the most vulnerable and marginalized populations. This is continuous work in the work of SADC, supported by various committees of the organ. The third objective focuses on enhanced collective defense and security system that is capable of safeguarding the territorial integrity of the region. The expected outcomes in this regard include increased capacity of the SADC standby force to safeguard the territorial integrity of the region and to conduct complex and multidimensional peace support and humanitarian operations, improved regional maritime security, high level of engagement of women and young people in defense and support. This is an area that receives considerable profile in the work of the SADC organ on politics, given the interventions in some situations in the region supported by the Interstate Defense and Security Committee. So that is broadly the focus of this RSDP, in particular what the Foundation on Peace, Security and Good Governance is focusing on, which then brings us, Honorable Chair and members, to the role that South Africa is now playing as the chair of the SADC organ. As honorable members may be aware, South Africa was conferred the chairship of the SADC organ on politics, defense and security cooperation from August 2021 to August 2022. We had Botswana, who was the outgoing chair, President Masisi, and the incoming chair is Dr. Hage Geingob, the president of Namibia. In terms of the focus of the chairship of South Africa of the organ, the following key issues are on the table, are the areas of focus. That includes the situation in Eswatini, the Kingdom of Eswatini, the deployment of the SADC mission in Mozambique, the facilitation process in the Kingdom of Lesotho, the continuation of the 4th Intervention Brigade in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the operationalization of the mediation reference group and panel of elders, and observation of elections in the region. So that is broadly what the organ is engaging on during this chairship. So maybe just to give a few highlights on the areas of focus in Eswatini. As Mr. Munyela has indicated, the president has sent a special envoy to engage His Majesty and other stakeholders in Eswatini on the political development. It's work that is continuing from what SADC did also before South Africa took over, where a SADC organ fact-finding mission also went to Eswatini to engage on the issues on the ground. You'd be also aware, Chair and Honorable Members, that President Ramaphosa also had consultations with the King on 2 November 2021, and it was agreed that the SADC Secretariat would assist in the development of terms of reference for the national dialogue in the country. So that the SADC has produced a draft framework that has been shared with members of the organ Troika for input with a view to its presentation to the government of Eswatini in the foreseeable future. With regard to the SADC intervention and deployment in Mozambique, the SADC summit in June 2021 approved the deployment of the SADC mission in Mozambique from 15 July 2021, as a regional response and support to the Republic of Mozambique to combat the threat of terrorism and acts of violent extremism in Cabo Delgado province for an initial period of 3 months. Deployment was extended following the summit, the Organ Tracker Summit that took place in October, where the reports of the summit were received and also input from the government of Mozambique. So this deployment was extended to January 15, 2022. So as honorable members may be aware, the ministers also met on 25 November to consider approved, organ ministers met on 25 November to consider progress on the ground with a view to the consideration of support, post-conflict support to Mozambique. So now the work that the SADC organ is busy with, in fact the meetings have started today, where an integrated mission planning team is meeting. It was tasked to develop a transition plan from scenario 6 to scenario 5 with specific actions to ensure full implementation of the plans that should see the work of SADC beyond 15 January 2023. So it is expected then that the work that is being done now will be presented to an organ tracker summit, which will take place hopefully before the end of the deployment, which is 15 January 2021. Briefly on Lesotho, As honorable members are aware, South Africa was appointed as a facilitator. President Ramaphosa was appointed as a SADC facilitator to the Kingdom of Lesotho. This facilitation role was extended by the August 2021 summit until August 2022. There's been considerable progress that was made by the National Reforms Authority in Lesotho. There's an omnibus bill that seeks to domesticate SADC decisions, which is which has been tabled in the Lesotho Parliament. We had been promised, or there were indications that the bill will be passed or adopted before the end of the year. The bill then, once adopted, it will pave the way for general elections in Lesotho, which are set to take place in September 2022. So us as the organ, we will also play a role in election monitoring in line with SADC principles and guidelines governing democratic elections. With regard to the Republic of Congo, we've alluded to it in the previous slide. Just to highlight that the mandate of MONUSCO will end on the 20th of December. And what it means then is that there's the expectation that the SADC will have to continue with its work on the ground. At the moment, there are consultations that are taking place in New York at the United Nations on the MONUSCO drawdown and the role of SADC going forward. So that is broadly the work that the chair is responsible for. We've not put much on the panel of elders, but as I indicated earlier on, it's work that is it's a resource that is there whenever it is required. And as expected, we will also assist with election monitoring. So in conclusion, Honorable Chair and members, we submit that the work of SADC is underpinned by the philosophy of Security Development Nexus, as elaborated in the Vision 2050 and the RSDP 2020-2030. This asserts that there is no peace without development, and also vice versa. So we note that the insecurity in the region could be attributed to both socioeconomic challenges and governance lapses. And the firm commitment by all member states to implement SADC blueprints can go a long way in reducing or removing fatal conditions of insecurity in the region. The challenges that are faced by SADC members is basically budget limitations that may limit SADC members in making a difference in terms of this SADC vision. But there continues to be a commitment to the SADC Vision 2020, which is underpinned by the foundational principle of a priority of peace, security, and good governance. So this mandate is important for SADC, and it is regarded as a key mandate that really sets the scene and creates the necessary enabling environment for sustainable economic integration in the region. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Clayton, is it going back to you? Clayton?
No, Honorable Chair, I think that concludes the presentations we needed to make. Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable members, there's a presentation. We will now take a hand. Honorable Bergman, over to you. And then it will be Honorable Mpoti. And then myself, and then those are the hands. So, there's another hand coming in. Outstanding. So it's Honorable Bergman,
House KMB, Honorable Mkosi, and then it will be myself, then we are done.
Chair, thank you very much for this. And SADC is something I'm passionate about, and thankfully it's something that I've been involved with, thanks to Parliament. The presentation, of course, could really be summed up in really, as the speaker said, stability, growth. But, you know, these are words. As we've seen in the last 2 years, we've seen a threat in security. We've seen a threat in stability. And it's something that, you know, I think South Africans say, sure, luckily it's not in South Africa. But that's not true. You know, the fact is that Mozambique's just a hop, skip and a jump away from South Africa. And, you know, what happened in Mozambique was, you know, we heard about intelligence. We heard about, you know, when the attack actually happened. A lot of people actually knew that the attack, that they actually hadn't, you know, they knew it was coming because it wasn't as if Mozambique hadn't been saying for the last 4 years that this is what's going to be happening. In fact, I know a lot of people would actually hate me for saying this, but a lot of people were saying, isn't this a civil war that was taking place in the north of Mozambique? And the truth is that what we've done is invited outside interference into the region because of the instability that was taking place in Mozambique that was not being handled by SADC. And the truth is that SADC, for a long time, has been a glorified talk shop and a league of gentlemen. And that's where things were failing. And, you know, when it came to Seychelles winning the last democratic elections, when it came to Zambia winning a democratic election, which was on a knife edge, and it was only because of the likes of the army general who stepped in to say that, you know, things were going to happen peacefully, transition was going to take place peacefully, that we find this breaking up of a league of gentlemen. And this leads now to potential and opportunity. And I think that in South Africa, and it's a pity the minister is not here, it's a pity that the Russian connection between South Africa and Russia in terms of the Zoom was not working, because I could tell you now that if the minister could take a message from us to SADC, I would give her 5 key areas to send to SADC from South Africa that would put us on the map very quickly and would give SADC a sporting opportunity to prosper. Right now in Eswatini, there are 2 MPs that are in prison because of the current situation with the king. Now, I'm not talking about interfering in the state. I'm not talking about interfering in the king's affairs. But we're talking about democracy. We're talking about 2 MPs that are not seeing justice because of the fact that they opened their mouths. And I think that SADC, before they get to the negotiating table, they need to free the MPs, because it's a political infringement here. And I think that, you know, we could talk to the king's senses or appeal to the king's senses in this regard to at least free these 2 MPs that are in jail indefinitely, which is, we know that justice delayed is justice denied. Then we've got in the DRC, we've got 2 governments, the democratically elected government and then the government that's rising in the east. And we know that what this is causing is we've already got a problem with South Africa that are moving in the east. We know where this is going. We know where this is heading. But we're allowing this to brew, and we're allowing this to stew. And as SADC, and with us sitting in the chair, we need to make sure that we stop this before it becomes an embarrassment and an arsehole to democracy in SADC or in any African government. Then a positive in Zimbabwe is there's an opportunity now. We're not seeing the change that we were promised. We're not seeing the change that we were told was going to happen. And that's not necessarily because of Zimbabwe. That's not necessarily because of anything that's taking place in Zimbabwe or in SADC. But But here's an opportunity for SADC to get involved and call for a CODESA. Here's an opportunity for SADC to get involved and say, yeah, maybe let's not go for an election at this stage. Maybe what we need to do is bring all the parties together around a table and get a new constitution, get a new buy-in, and start and push the reset button and start a new interim government. And instead of having an election, introduce an interim government. And maybe that will create the new foreign investment. And maybe then we can lift the sanctions against the people and not against the leaders, because I think that will give the people of Zimbabwe a fighting chance and take away all the stigma that was left upon them in the past. When it comes to Mozambique, I also say that we need to be careful of where these cells are and where these cells are moving and where these cells are possibly already operating. And I think that the intelligence needs to be a bit swifter. As I said, it wasn't in 2020 that the intelligence was there. There was a lot of intelligence and clues in 2017 that was already not dealt with. And if SADC was a bit more proactive, it took Zimbabwe and Rwanda, it took their fighting attitude, it took them days to clean up what South Africa, the army, couldn't do in months. And that's embarrassing, Chair, because when we sit down in the SADC forums, it translates to people looking at South Africa and going, you see this country, they think they're great, but then we bring our army in and look what our army can do and look what their army does and look at what their decisions do. And then when we sit in forums, they look at our, they when it comes to voting in voting into resolutions and that, they look at us as arrogant. And then they laugh at us when we bring in our army, but we can't do what Rwanda and Zimbabwe can do quickly. And I just want to talk on Zimbabwe quickly, is we've got a border crisis at this point in time, because people are showing health certificates, real COVID certificates, but those are not being allowed because they can get, the police and the army can get 500 rand for a fake certificate. So they're asking for fake certificates rather than the real certificates. And one more point of assistance is that I think the rotations are happening too quickly. I think that the chair rotations should happen over 3 or 4 years, where the chair and the country actually has an opportunity to get their feet into the problem and then to actually try and make a difference to the problem. And that's why I agree that what SADC, the PF, has been working on is a set of model laws. There's model laws on elections, there's model laws on governance, there's model laws on like things like grievous bodily harm. And these are the kind of things that all countries that subscribe to SADC should be introducing in their countries. And we, as monitors or people in the chair, should be making sure that all countries of SADC subscribe to these model laws. Chair, thank you for listening.
Thanks, Honorable Honorable Mkoti, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much from the department for the input. Chair, there are several issues that I want to raise, and I would like to start with saying that. Firstly, it's important that a proper security analysis be presented to us on the threat to security posed by ISIS or first operating from our region. I think the violence that was in the JRC where I think it's Uganda, where it's intervening to boost the JRC to thwart an advance of the elements of ISIS is an indication that there is a possibility that we may have a multiplier in the region that escalates to threat to national security and separate sovereignty where there are weaknesses in state security. So maybe the department will be able at a later point, at a later stage, to
provide us with, not life, but at least a strategic view and understanding of what the threat, the terrorist threat is in the region. I welcome, Chair, the progress that is made, particularly in Lesotho. It has taken considerable effort on our side, and it has taken long, but this just goes to demonstrate the importance of engaging in dialogue and intervening in a way that brings together different views to a team, and how matter long it may take. If the final result is one brought on the basis of political consensus on the direction of the country, it is to be welcomed. And the stability of the region is something that has faced the region, particularly in the past decades, seriously. And we should welcome the progress that is made with an agreement that is about to be consolidated into decisions by that parliament or by the government in Lesotho. However, Chair, it's important also that we point out that the threat remains active, and therefore it is not possible to lower the guard, but to continuously engage in ensuring that there is cooperation among the parties. On Mozambique, Chair, I think this committee had an early discussion on the issue of Mozambique. While I take what Honorable Bergman is saying, but remember that in principle, intervention or whatever happens at the invitation of the country that seeks help. So as a country, we wouldn't have gone there and marched in and done what we could have if Mozambique had not invited us. And I think for a long time, we said that. We said and waited, but the proper way was to go through an authorized SADC intervention, SADC extension intervention. And I think the progress emanates from that approach rather than an approach of unilateralism on our side. What is important is that once the instability brought in the northern region of Mozambique, it should be buttressed by the Mozambican government acting in a manner that ensures integration or reintegration of the north and the entire country through specific programs at an economic level, particularly. Okay. The issue is not here, but I think this issue of improved regional maritime security requires urgent attention on our side. I think as a country, we prioritize the maritime economy. However, maritime security is a matter that will continue to face us with our long coastline stretching from north of our Atlantic seabed right up to the north of the Indian seabed. It's a huge responsibility that we face with this maritime, such an extensive seabed. My concern there is whether the department is aware of the defense, meaning LDF defense capabilities currently to offer the security for our maritime, for our coast. Chair, the other issue that I want to zoom on is on the DRC. My sense is that if truth be told, or if we have to be very honest with the facts, that relationship has not really yielded has not yielded at the momentum the desired results as planned. I think our presence in the DRC through economic security provision and building state capacity has to be assessed first by ourselves, even before we go to this planned 12B and C, that we have to assess to what extent have we been able to play a role in creating political stability through military intervention, even if we're part of the UN intervention force, or even where we have joint agreements between ourselves and the PRC government. We must assess that concretely, because it's clear that with time, as it happens with all our intervention approaches in the rest of the continent, we intervene and then we leave, and the situation goes back to what it was before the intervention, either ourselves or jointly with intervention forces, either from the UN, the EU, or from the region. The second issue that requires attention and assessment is around economic bilateral cooperation. I think, Chair, when we established relations or re-established relations with the PRC, there was optimism on the agricultural sector by the farming community in the country and a variety of business interests. I find this to have weighed quite a bit and a lot because of the conditions of trade in the PRC, where people feel that they are mining, for example, if they are mining, their mining interests are simply reversed and taken over without following due process, and that these interest people from investing in the country. So we need a multi-approach involving our department and the Department of Trade in the and industry to assess the impact of our inner intervention even before we go on additional responsibilities. The third and last issue in the justice is the issue of the INGA. You know, with dams, when you contract and build dams, the economic multiplier effects are enormous, and the opportunities provided give an indication of what may be the possibilities of the economic direction of the particular region where the dam is built. And I'm very much concerned that the enthusiasm that initially was there is waning, and South Africa had prioritized this, the construction of the dam because of the possibility of providing energy in SADC and thus relieving ESCOM, whatever, the possibility of drawing on hydro and soon. So my sense is that this requires an independent assessment, not only by ourselves, but also by sister department involved directly in ensuring that the INGA project is realized. Otherwise, I think this type of input must and forecast must continually remain in the committee to enable us to have an on the pulse understanding of developments in the future.
Thank you, Honorable Mkosi. Outstanding.
Thank you very much, Chen. Thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I think we have to acknowledge that the reaction of SADC is very slow. It is provided for in many of their treaties and protocols and certain clauses provide for SADC to act in a speedy manner. And I think the SADC body allows too much sovereignty on countries without invoking certain clauses which will allow it
to act in a speedy manner, an example with what happened in Mozambique. There is an Article 6.1 of the SADC Mutual Defense Pact, which says that an attack against a state party shall be considered a threat to the regional peace and security. And to have such clauses in our pact and not be able to invoke them just makes the body a very redundant and a very useless body, which cannot be able to keep peace and security in the region. So, Chairperson, I think the SADC body needs to be given also more teeth so that they can be decisive and be able to act in a manner that can stop an insurgency just as it begins, because it means the early warning system is made to be useless if we cannot act and wait for a country, for example, what Mozambique did. We had to wait for Mozambique to eventually come and say, okay, you can come and assist us now. However, they were given a leeway under their sovereignty to go and hire private military security, which is a private military company in the region of SADC. I think these are things which should be prevented and should be actually banned by the SADC body, because private military companies do not provide solutions. Hence now, the SADC body had to, and Rwanda had to go in and help with the insurgency. And looking at the history of the African continent, insurgencies seem to be our bread and butter. And for countries to have a choice of hiring a private military company, it renders all our defense useless. Your Africa standby force becomes rendered useless because most countries will prefer private military companies before anything else. And then, Chairperson, if we can get some clarity with what Babunkosi has just touched on, you'll excuse me my voice, I've got a terrible flu. It's not COVID, it's flu. Chairperson, when will the SADC review its 2011 strategy for countering piracy in the Western Indian Ocean? Because if you look at most of the insurgencies that happen, we can't intervene using maritime security because of this piracy strategy that we have in SADC. And also, Chairperson, with regards to Eswatini, we have been sending assistance talks in order to promote the democracy. But like I said, the protocol does provide for means in resolving disputes should there be no peaceful means of resolving conflict. In the protocol of politics and defense and security, it says that where there is no peaceful means of resolving conflict, the chairperson acting on the advice of ministerial committee may recommend to the summit that enforcement action can be taken. So I want to know what type of enforcement action is this, and why hasn't the chairperson of the peace committee made any recommendation, because it is seen that peaceful means are not working in Eswatini, Chairperson, and people are dying, and the way it is now, it looks as if SADC is not doing anything because there is no resolution that has happened. And Chairperson, what is the use of the South African Police Chief Cooperation Organization? Do they still exist? And how do they seek to assist in conflicts in the SADC region? And then, Chairperson, with regards to the DRC, do we have any infrastructure projects like your roads and rails, seeing that the African continent has signed the African Continental Free Trade Agreement? Do we have any projects that we can say they are our flagship in linking the SADC region regarding infrastructure, your roads, your rails, your one-stop border posts? How far is that project anyway? And then, Chairperson, also DRC is facing insurgency. It's a continental problem. Is the African Union and South Africa, especially in the DRC, looking at finding a permanent defense force or using a permanent defense force in stopping the reliance on the UN, having our own standby force to have peace and an African military that will once and for all deal with these insurgencies that keep cropping up in the African continent? And what you see now is when a country assists with an insurgency, it itself gets attacked. So we need a permanent resolution on how do we deal with these insurgencies, either having an African military or, strengthening this standby force, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning to everyone. I've got a network problem, Chair. I hope that I'll be able to speak till the end without being kicked out. Chair, mine is on the SADC intervention in northern Mozambique. Rwanda came in with soldiers before SADC came in. The SADC organ, how is it working? Are they incapacitated? Is it just a decision of SADC? All of a sudden, we had Rwanda coming in. What was the confusion? So I'm saying that the region must be able to solve and make its own decisions so that SADC does not seem as if it does not know what it is doing. On the DRC, we have long relations since 1997 when there was a meeting with the then former state president, Utata Mandela, and the DRC. What are the benefits of these relations? We go in way back to normalize situations. But after normalizing situations, who comes in? The French come in to invest, and all other people come in to invest. And South Africa does not have a plan in place on which we can say is a commercial plan. What are the economical benefits that we get in South Africa? Because ours is always to go in, we normalize situations, but we do not benefit anything at the end of the day. With the Inga Dam project, we need to concentrate on it as it's, we are pumping in resources, but we don't see the benefits of the that we put in, because this project of the electricity on the Inga Dam, we are not analyzing the benefits, because it's like the project is just dying down somewhere. We are not seeing what the benefits are going to be. So we need to really concentrate on this project, because indeed we are pumping in a lot of resources into this project. So for it just to be an Inga Dam project, but we are not able to say these are the milestones and this is where we are heading to actually see a beneficiation out of the project, is a huge problem, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, House Bennett and the other honorable members. From my side,
honorable members, it is on the DRC, on the export. Because in South Africa, we're in the process of building non-racialism. Now, that non-racialism has to also find expression in the economy. And the reality is that we are far, very far from reaching a stage of building a true non-racial South Africa, which, as I say, one of the most important variables there has to be a non-racialism that is expressed through the economy, where the majority of the citizens who are African and black are in total control and ownership of the economy without saying white people should not also benefit from the economy, because as we all know, South Africa belongs to all who live in it. But the reality is that we live in a South Africa where the pendulum economic is almost permanently on the side of our white patriots. And together with the white patriots, we have a responsibility to build concrete non-racialism, which, as I say, we are far from it. So what I want to know is, in the context of what I have just said, we are said to be exporting to the DRC almost $900 billion US dollars. So I want to know, in racial terms, if you break it down, where does it put us? Does it reflect a progress towards us making sure as a country that indeed we build this non-racialism that we seek to build economic? Because if we build non-racialism and we don't include the economic variable in that non-racialism, it's going to be lopsided and future generations will rebel against that type of non-racialism, which is just based on removing methods of discrimination from the laws and so on and so on. That's my first issue. The second issue is on the INGA project. The World Bank pulling out, as a consequence of which there was a delay. It will be better in future if we can get the detailed reasons advanced by the World Bank why it withdrew, because this has got an impact on multilateralism. Because at that stage, we must then say, what are the consequences of them pulling out, and what do we then do using the avenues that exist within the AU and within the multilateral body, where we can then make sure that we bring to the attention of the world the conduct of the World Bank. So that's the second matter. The third and the last is on whether the department itself is satisfied that SADC, in as far as peacekeeping in SADC is concerned, is capacitated enough to deal with whatever can erupt at any time within the SADC region in as far as matters of peace and security are concerned. Yeah, over to the department.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm going to request my colleagues to deal with the questions and I will add, but before they come in, just by way of a reminder, Honorable Chair members, you would recall that at the time when the insurgency in northern Mozambique happened, Mozambique was actually the chair of SADC at that time. So questions around the speed with which the regional leadership was convened to discuss and respond, you can then view it within that context. And I think Honorable Ngosi has already highlighted the fact that you can't arrive in a sovereign country and get busy with resolving security matters without the authorization or even invitation of that particular country. So that would then explain, you know, how late or fast the intervention by the regional body happened. Mozambique will tell you that they are the ones who invited Rwanda as to the reasons why. They, of course, I mean, perhaps not even for the purposes of this meeting, the security agencies I know have products that delve into the dynamics at play that would explain that particular decision, which honorable members would agree with me, the regional body would have viewed not necessarily in a way that is welcomed, because the regional leadership had already, you know, made an offer to intervene. The other issue, before my colleagues come in with a bit more detailed responses, Honorable Swart, I agree with you. The one of our former ministers used to categorize South Africa as the uncle with a wet blanket. So if there are flames, political flames or challenges on the continent, South Africa is called upon to come and put out the flames. Once the flames have been successfully extinguished, then other people arrive and sign deals and benefit from the peace that would have been restored, because peace and development are two sides of the same coin. You can't have development in the absence of peace. In the case of the DRC, honorable members would recall the talks that South Africa hosted and facilitated. Political actors from the DRC spent weeks and months at Sun City in the Northwest. And once some semblance of calm had returned, of course, there are still challenges in Eastern DRC. The other issue is that I do know a couple of years back that there were certain agreements and in fact offers that were made by some of these countries that we're talking about. But the take up from some of our state agencies and owned and state-owned companies in South Africa leaves a lot to be desired. If I can single out, I do know there was an offer made for the upgrading of the airport in the DRC, and the offer was made to the relevant state agency that would have been relevant to take up that project, and there were challenges which we can talk about in a bit more detailed form. So it's a challenge that I think the leadership is aware of, but there's been attempt on some of these things to make progress. So I'm going to request my colleagues then to respond to some of the questions that we've noted, and then I'll come back and provide some additions on areas where there may be gaps. Ms. Shongwe?
Thank you very much, Mr. Munyeda, and I'd also like to thank the honorable members for their interventions and also the guidance that is also provided for us as South Africa as we engage with SADC broadly, but also particularly as we are chairing the organ. The intervention by Honorable Grassman, we appreciate it, and as it is, it's issues that we will need to put in a report and present to the minister, because it is more issues that he is guiding for us to take up with the SADC. They are definitely beneficial in all of them, be it the DRC, Zimbabwe, Eswatini, Mozambique. And he also raises a very important question that I'm not sure if SADC has raised, but it's worth raising, the issue of the rotation, the fact that it may have better impact if the rotation of the chairship of the organ is not just 1 year. These issues definitely will bring to the attention of our principals. And I'd also like to thank Honorable Ngozi for his input. The interventions of the Honorable also require us to go back and do some work. One of the products that we will need to bring back to Parliament based on his intervention is with regard to the security analysis, the threat security analysis in the region. And in my understanding, it goes beyond SADC. So it will have to be a complete assessment that covers the continent, because some of the issues also come up in other parts of the continent beyond SADC. We will definitely work with that, and then the presentation or the actual product will be submitted. With regard to the issues of maritime security, we know that it is our Department of Defense that leads on this, but it's an important issue to raise with defense to also understand our capabilities and also how much we're doing the work. Maybe just to indicate that also with the SAMIM deployment in Mozambique, there is also a component that is dealing with marine security. With regard to the issues that the Honourable raised with regard to the DRC, we will definitely convene an interdepartmental meeting so that we are able to do the necessary assessment on the economic impact, the benefits that we're deriving from the relationship, and also our internal, together with our security department, our assessment on whether we are really getting the chief dividend from our contribution to stability in the DRC. That also applies to the assessment of the INGA, and also why this INGA project, which links to what Honorable Chair also indicated regarding why there was a put out, and as we are approaching INGA 3, how is South Africa's posture and what are the benefits that we stand to derive if we go into that project. With regards to the input from Honorable Msane, which we also appreciate a lot, we note and we appreciate the issues that she's raised, which relate to how we as SADC or the SADC is taking its decisions despite the provisions. But I believe Mr. Minyela also tried to clarify some of the nuances when some of the decisions are taken. But it definitely is not an excuse, but it's a very constructive criticism that needs to be looked at, and so that we can see how we are responsive to issues of conflict in the region. We will make a follow-up on the question regarding the review of the SADC strategy on the Indian Ocean, the 2011 strategy. We will definitely make a follow-up on that, and we will channel the response through the DG and Minister's office. The role of police is also something that we'd like to take back to the broader coordination mechanism. Maybe just to indicate that South Africa is chairing the SADC Organ on Politics, Defense and Security Cooperation. We also have formed a interdepartmental coordination mechanism that brings together all the departments that also contribute to the work of the organ. So the issue that you raised regarding the role of the police, we will also bring to our colleagues at SATS so that they can provide the necessary input. I note also the issue raised regarding the incidences in the DRC, and whether South Africa or even the AU is looking at finding a permanent solution and also decreasing the reliance on the United Nations. This is an issue that continues to be reflected upon. I should also mention that even at the SADC summit in August 2021, this issue was raised because SADC, a component of all these deployments, tends to be invited, and they also end up becoming a support staff instead of leading, given that the conflicts are in the region. So these are the issues that even as the discussions are taking place in New York regarding the way forward in the DRC, the issues of ensuring that the SADC member countries that have contributed, they should lead these brigades. They should lead in the work that is happening on the ground. But obviously, we know that some of the interventions, when they come from the UN, it's also because the issue was also brought to the UN Security Council, which then decides to deploy a peace mission or an intervention mission. But an issue that SADC member states, and I believe it's a broader concern even within the AU, is that whenever there are deployments, the countries of the region or African countries should be allowed to lead in terms of this mission. So it's an issue, Honorable, that remains under discussion within the SADC, and I believe the AU is also raising it. Honorable Swag, some of the issues that you raised have also been answered, but they also build on the work that we will be doing in terms of reviewing what we are doing in DRC and also concretizing our benefits from the relation. And also the use of the INGADEM was already, I've already alluded to it. It will be part of the review work we will be doing. Chair, with regards to the exports to the DRC, at this stage, from where we are as DERCO, we don't have the breakdown of the economic actors in the DRC in terms of the racial breakdown. But we will definitely get that information as we will be engaging with the Department of Trade and Trade and Industry and Competition. Whether we are satisfied with the SADC peacekeeping capacity in the region, I would not have a definite answer, but also to indicate that as a department, we play a role, we assist also in training peacekeepers and also especially and mediators, especially with the focus of mediation that involves women, because we have identified the need to also bring women into peace and security. So we are making a contribution, but it's a question that I believe can be broadly answered when we get the input of the Department of Defense, but we know that activity is already happening, the extent of which we cannot with confidence indicate its capacity. Honorable Chair and Mr. Nyela, that is my submission at this stage. I yield to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Chongwe. May I just check from the other colleagues of mine whether there's any addition you'd like to make before we hand over back to the chair? It doesn't. Yeah. Okay. No. It appears, Honourable Chair, that.
Sorry, acting DG. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. No, thanks. Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the honorable members. My name is Kazamula Chawani. I'm responsible for the DRC, among other countries in Southern Africa. Just to buttress some of the issues, of course, one would then agree with the honorable members, particularly when it comes to the DRC, that we need to do some kind of an assessment. In February 2020, we submitted what we had termed at that particular time a re-engagement strategy to the minister with some recommendations on how we should re-engage with the DRC. So it is true that the DRC somehow seems to be drifting away. One of the things that we had realized at that particular time was that they were starting to move towards the East African Community, which is the EAC. And we were proven right because in a few months after that, we applied for the membership in July this year. The assessment mission went to the DRC and it was at a ministerial level. Came back with a recommendation in September for the head of state of the EAC, basically endorsing that the DRC could join the East Africa Community. So it's still up to the head of state of that regional body to decide. But of course, we also did realize that immediately after the pandemic, the outbreak of the pandemic, that could complicate and delay the implementation of that strategy. But when I was listening to the questions, I felt perhaps just by way of indication, one of the recommendations, and I think there was a question around it, which Ms. Shongwe has also alluded to, was that we need to convene an interdepartmental either seminar or meeting with key departments to discuss this re-engagement. And I think that interdepartmental would then assist us to map out where we are, how far we have come as far as the DRC is concerned. And at that particular time, we were talking about we recommended that we should maintain the FID, considering that MONUSCO had almost an annual renewed mandate, but there was a feeling that MONUSCO at the end of the day, when the DRC government has the capacity to take care of their own territory, will then move out. But at that particular time, we felt the DRC was not ready. I think there was a question related to the African standby force and whether we want to create a permanent force on the ground. But it's something that it was considered. We also felt at that time, and this recommendation was made, that perhaps we need to resuscitate and reactivate the role of the special envoy, not only to the DRC per se, but to the rest of the Great Lakes region, so that we have real-time information in terms of development there. There was a question on INGA. The recommendation that was made was that we need to take deliberate action to strengthen our participation in the INGA 3 project for mutual benefit. I know that when the World Bank withdrew, the Chinese came in, I think, at about 80%, and then there was a Spanish company that came at about 20%. That completed 100% of that construction project. But then, when Minister met with the former Minister of Foreign Affairs of the DRC, just before the pandemic, the briefing they gave us is that the doors are still open for South Africa to participate actively in that project. Of course, these were just recommendations, but the honorable members would know that the DRC itself has had enormous challenges. If we were to talk the politics, I don't know how long it would take. But let me just indicate that initially, after the 2019 elections, they spent closer to 7 or 8 months without government. That was a serious challenge. And when they had government, because they used coalitions of FCC and the church, one from former President Kabila, the other current President Tshisekedi, then they started to have quite a lot of disagreement in that coalition arrangement. And you wouldn't even know who to talk to. Then there's quite a lot that has happened. I can't go into the details of that. But suffice to say, even at the moment now when we think President Tshisekedi got a handle on the administration, there are some maneuvers from the other group, including nationals who get visas from our missions there under false pretenses and then come to South Africa and then they start to form formation. Then you get a sense from the DRC government itself suggesting that actually the former president is involved in destabilizing the country and all of that, and they would need some kind of help. So I'm just saying, if one was to look at the politics of the DRC, it would take us longer. But I do agree that we need to do an assessment. Let me also highlight that, of course, doing an assessment would also mean foreign involvement. We did an extensive document at one stage that we had to send to NICOB principals, that is the National Intelligence Coordinating Body. And what we found out is, although there are actors closer to the DRC in terms of proximity in Uganda, I think there's an honorable member who indicated that, we also know that Rwanda is a sector, but we found that there are foreign actors, for instance, like the U.S. At one stage, we understood that even the current president could not take certain decisions without the assistance of the ambassador of the U.S. in the DRC, which we found a little bit odd. And you would know recently that he has been crisscrossing the world, going to Israel and all of that. But I think that assessment was helpful to an extent that if we re-engage in the process now, at least we have got the base. Let me just very quickly, Chairperson, what I've got note here, and I think the honorable members have made quite substantive inputs. I'm just checking if there's any that I can respond to. For instance, the assessment that we referred to in terms of bringing stability in that country, I have in part responded to that. I was augmenting what Ms. Shongwe has said. Now, economic relations with the DRC, particularly the issue of agriculture, it's our embassy in the DRC that identified this potential, and I think it was on the 9th of April when Ambassador Shiluan was here to brief the minister, and he briefed on the potential of the DRC as far as agriculture is concerned. And in the September, the Director General of Agriculture that side visited South Africa to have a further discussion on how we can collaborate, also to form some kind of task teams to take this work forward. And we hosted the meeting in Biko, but the Department of Agriculture joined us as a line function department that specializes in that. As far as the DRC having an infrastructure project, I must confess, we don't have, I don't know of any, but the DRC itself has got a massive territory, and the infrastructure like roads and so forth remains a serious challenge. In 2018 leading to 2019 election, I think they were assisted in the main by the Russians, because they had a difficulty even to move the ballots around and all of that. So it's a key input that we really need to look into, of course, I've already indicated that with regard to the INGA project, the recommendation that was made was approved that we indeed need to take deliberate steps to participate actively in that project, given its potential. And we had said at that particular time it would be for mutual benefit. Of course, Chairperson, you spoke about our exports, and the Chief Director there, Ms. Shongwe, responded to that. I'm not going to repeat it, just to confirm that indeed we don't necessarily have that numbers in terms of race. I think Acting DG, I would have covered quite a number. If I have missed something, you will remind me. But thank you very much for the opportunity. Back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chabani. Chair, before I hand over back to you, just to summarize in a minute, on the DRC, I think it's important, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, to remember that there are many players in that country who benefit from the instability of that country, and therefore are heavily invested in sustaining the instability, because it allows them to exploit the mineral resources of that country without paying taxes and other things. If you just think of coltan, without which you can't have a smartphone or a smart gadget, and you exclude the rest of the things that they are continuing to take out of the DRC, then you understand why it's been difficult up until now for either the UN or regional players to completely eradicate these groupings that are behind the instability of the country, which is potentially the richest country in the world, in fact, one may argue. And it's not just external players, as in from outside the continent. There are also players in that region who benefit from that instability. So as we discuss South Africa's involvement, we always have to remember that context, that there are many players there. On the issue of Mozambique, just to once again emphasize the point that the initial reaction when South Africa was one of the first countries to respond to that insurgency, and as I say, Mozambique was cheering SADC at that time. The initial response, which I'm repeating because it's out in the public domain, I do know that this is an open meeting, so we can't say everything. The chair may want to perhaps convene a closed meeting where we can invite even some of our security agencies who I know have produced several products and delve into much more detail than we can do in this open meeting. Just to say that the initial response was that that was a domestic internal security issue, which you know, the government felt they could handle. Of course, the issue escalated to a point where external help was needed, and the regional body was then convened to meet and take the decisions that were taken. On Eswatini, there was a question by Honorable Mufwane about at what point do you go with enforcing certain actions? At what point do you make the call that dialogue is not working? Ms. Shongwe said, these are matters that will, of course, escalate to our principals and say these are issues that have been raised by the portfolio committee as part of our report back. But we've taken note of all the inputs and questions that honorable members have raised. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Yeah, local hustlers, places, and your collective. And we must also thank Ndate Chabani
for the clarity and the rest of the other team members from the department who provided the clarity. Just to re-emphasize, it will be very important going forward for the department to raise fairly profile our export portfolio in as far as the rest of the world is concerned and how we are doing as a republic, so that we can quantify concretely whether we are making progress towards this prosperous society that we seek to build, this non-racial society that we seek to build, so that we don't become manufacturers of future volcanoes. Like I was saying, that in future there will be a volcanic eruption by future generations, which will be young people. So the sooner we slowly start working on that as a department and making it our duty to do that, so that we can quantify. So that when we say to the people of South Africa in Parliament that we are indeed succeeding in building non-racialism, in building prosperity, then we can quantify. So if we don't quantify, it's going to create problems for us going forward. But thank you very much for the responses. And the meeting you are suggesting, that Chabane, of some closed meeting to deal with some of the sensitive matters, I think we must come to that meeting as soon as the new year starts. Then we can delve into some of the critical matters we have to deal with as public representatives and confront them, because they are the realities of South Africa, objective realities of South Africa. Otherwise, thank you very much. Give our regards to the minister and the deputy ministers, including deputy minister Sabwetel, who has a bereavement at home. We look forward, if all things being equal, we look forward to the meeting on Tuesday with the minister and the department. So we will meet with them. Thank you very much for the presentations and how you dealt with the response. Honorable members, we must now deal with the minutes.
Sorry, Chair.
Oh, sorry. I didn't look at...
Sorry, man. I know you've just closed the part with
well,
the department. I just wanted to check, with the elections coming up in Afghanistan, is South Africa going to be an observer role? Is it going to play an observer role? Or we're just going to let it go like that? If I can just get clarity on that. Sorry, Chair.
Don't worry, no problem. Afghanistan, any role to play of the mission?
Honorable Chair, I'm not aware that we've been invited either by Afghanistan itself or the regional body there, but we will double check. It's usually the case that it's neighboring countries and regional bodies that we get invited to observe elections in countries across the world. So in this case, the AU would be the region that would be invited and would then constitute an election observer mission. But I'm not aware that South Africa has been approached either by our own regional body, Afghanistan, or the regional body in that region of the world at this stage, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, in case that happens, we'll update the comments. Once more, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes. Administrator, can you summarize the minutes for us?
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to project the minutes, Chairperson. Please.
you seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties.
Yes, my computer is full of information. I have keep on.
Honourable members, can we deal with this minute on Tuesday? Is that okay?
Yes, sir. We are under pressure. We are going to buses.
Oh, yeah, the buses, by the way. Is it agreed, Honourable Members? Tuesday, we can deal with the minute. Agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you very much. Baya danki kya lebohanya bonga siya bulela. And thank you very much, Honourable Members, and our administration for the meeting. I think it was a qualitative, as always, robust meeting in terms of engagement. All things being equal, we will then meet on Tuesday. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.